There's two more things I want to learn Hilchas Shabbos, and then we'll be finished. One is we'll probably be able to do tonight completely, is Amira La'akum, which is very important here because it used to not be Nogeya Kemat Bechlau, because we didn't have any Goyim living here. But now we have a lot of Goyim here, taking care of all us old people. And Shabbos, it doesn't go by where people come with shilas about what they can tell this Filipino or that Filipino or whatever. And it's not so pashut that you can just tell a goy to do whatever you want it to do and benefit from it. So that's the first thing that we'll discuss tonight. And the second thing is mukta. Mukta is going to take us a little bit longer, but it's not going to take us that many weeks. And then we're finished with Hilchas Shabbos. So if anybody has any suggestions for what we can learn after Hilchas Shabbos, I'd be more than happy to listen to them. Not now. Give it to me in writing over the week, the next few weeks, and we'll just see what to do next. Okay. And also, you should start thinking, it's going to be quite a few more weeks till we finish the Holocaust, but we're starting now the last section, which will take a while, and that's Shilas and Tshuvas that came up before the Holocaust, during the Holocaust, after the Holocaust, and to see from the Shilas a little bit of a picture of the type of people and type of questions that were asked and the situations that they dealt with. So we're going to spend a lot of time on the Shila, not just the Tshuva. And then the Tshuva is also interesting, how they were answered and what the halachic ramifications of these shilas were, that also we'll discuss. Okay, let's start with Amira La'akum. So we're going to need a new topic after this topic, also the Hashkofa topic, so if you think about it and have any suggestions, I'm open to suggestions. Okay, let's start with Amira La'akum. There are a number of halachic issues with telling a goy to do malacha on Shabbos. One of them is the etzem inyan of amira la'akum itself, where there are many that hold that if you tell a goy to do something for you, it's like you did it. Shlucho shel adam kamoso. And even though normally we hold that a goy can't be a shliach, but that's only when it's lekula. But lechumra, right? In other words, where it's to your detriment if the goy is your shliach, then a goy could be a shliach and be osir. So that's one consideration. That when you tell a goy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, it's like you did it, because he becomes your agent. Second problem is that even if he's no agency, the goy doesn't become your agent, then what's it called? There's a problem of dabar dover, of speaking things on Shabbos that are not Shabbos things. And telling someone to do a malacha, speaking about a malacha that's going to be done on Shabbos, right, is dabar dover. It's speaking about things on Shabbos that are not permitted. What? Even going for the sake of Shabbos. The third problem is mintzochet secha, that you can't do things that are what's it called weekday kinds of things. In other words, things that are prohibited on Shabbos are obviously weekday kind of things. You can't discuss those kinds of things on Shabbos, right? There are differences between these reasons. A simple difference would be if the reason that it's prohibited is because of dabar dover, then you can't tell him on Shabbos, but you could tell him erev Shabbos. But if the reason is because he's your agent when he does the malacha, then even if you tell him erev Shabbos and he does it on Shabbos, it's aser. If the reason is because of mimtzochef tzecha, because you're not allowed to speak about weekday things on Shabbos, that's only where it's your own chafetzin. But if it's mitzvah, it should be mutter. But if the reason is because of you're making him an agent, or because dabar dover, then even l'shem mitzvah is aser. So there are differences between these reasons, but these are the three reasons that could apply to the actual telling. And then there's a fourth thing. The fourth thing is that you're not allowed to be nehenna. You can't benefit from malacha that was done by a goy on Shabbos under many circumstances, if it's Hana Yeshira, if it's direct benefit. The Goy did a malacha for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from that malacha. Not only that, you have to wait till Motzei Shabbos to benefit from it in the time that it would take to do that malacha Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, even if in certain situations you'd be allowed to tell the Goy to do it in a way that's permissible, you still couldn't benefit from many of the things that he does. So those are the four things to take in consideration, and therefore, in many circumstances, it's either usher to tell the Goy altogether, and even if you told him in a mutter way, you can't benefit from the malach. Now we'll see where the exceptions are and where this applies. Basically, the rule is like this. To tell a Goy openly, right, to do this malacha for me on Shabbos, is the rule is that it's asur. We'll see where the exceptions are in a second, but the rule is it's asur. Not only can't you tell him on Shabbos, you can't tell him Erev Shabbos either. Because like we said, even though on Erev Shabbos there's no Dabar Dover, but there's what's it called, there's Shlichus. You're making him your Shliach to do your malacha. So you can't tell a Goy to do a malacha for you, not Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos directly. Okay. What you can do is you can give a Goy something to do, and you're not telling him to do it on Shabbos, and if he chooses to do it on Shabbos, that's okay. For instance, you go to a Goyish garage to have your car fixed. You give it to him on Friday, and you don't tell him that you want it immediately after Shabbos. You tell him, you know, whenever you'll fix it, I'll pay you for fixing it. You're not paying him by the hour, you're paying him for the job. And you didn't tell him the job has to be done on Shabbos. He could do it Friday if he chooses. He could do it Motzei Shabbos if he chooses. If he chooses to do it on Shabbos, that's his business. Therefore, it's mutter to give a Goy something that is not done in your house, done outside your house. It's not something that's evident that it's a Jewish thing, right, where everybody knows this is a Yid's thing. Okay, in other words, a lot of cars that look like, you know, other people's cars, right? So the lav davka that everybody knows he's working on a Jewish car per se, and it's not avodas karka. It's not what's it called, things that have to do with agriculture or whatever. And he's not doing it in your house. So those, under those conditions, you can give a Goy alterations to make, right, before Shabbos, as long as you don't tell them that it has to be done right away after Shabbos, and the only way they can do it is on Shabbos. You give it to them right before Shabbos, and you tell them you want it right after Shabbos. So then it's as if you're telling them to do it on Shabbos. That's also. But if you give it to them in enough time before Shabbos, they can do it before Shabbos. Or there's enough time after Shabbos to do it before you tell them you need it. Even if they choose to do it on Shabbos, it's mutter. Because you never told them to do it on Shabbos, and they're choosing to do it on Shabbos on their own. That's what's it called, and you're not benefiting because what's it called? Because they could have done it before or after. They chose to do it for their reason on Shabbos. That's most convenient for them. That's mutter. To tell a Goy to do a malacha on Shabbos that doesn't necessarily involve a malacha, but the Goy makes it involve a malacha for their benefit. Similar kind of thing. It's also mutter. For instance, in this you can tell them even on Shabbos. You have a maid, right, who's not Jewish, and you tell them to wash the dishes. They could wash the dishes with cold water, and they don't have to do anything that's usher to wash dishes. People wash dishes on Shabbos, but you know they're going to use hot water because it's easier, and they're going to use a sponge or whatever else. But since it could be done in a way that's mutter, what you told them is not to be mechal Shabbos. You told them to do something that could be done in a way that's mutter on Shabbos. Even though you know that they're going to do it in a way that's usher, that's okay. Or you tell a Goy, clean the floor. You could clean the floor in a way that's mutter. They're going to choose to mop it or to vacuum it or whatever. That's mutter too. Because you didn't tell them to do something that's usher. You told them to do something that conceivably could be mutter. The reason they're doing it in a way that's usher is for their benefit. It's easier to do like that. That's okay. That's another case where it's a mutter. What? Because why are the, because again, they're not doing malach on something of, they're not doing malach on your house, they're doing malach with something that's yours. But why should that be different than maleches? No. What?
How can you fix your car? Something.
No, you can't. No, that's for sure something that's osur. But Chaim is right. Lechora, lemaisa, in the end, they're doing it in an osur way, and they're doing it in a way that it's your thing and it's obvious. Yeah, because this cheshbon applies to that too. In other words, anybody who sees that is not going to assume that you necessarily told them to do the malacha. You told them to clean your floor. And since they're choosing to do it in a way that's osur, but they could have done it in a way, that thing that they're doing could have been done in a way that's mutter, that's already mutter. Masha'in kein, a malacha like sewing or something like that, there's no way to do it that's mutter. Right? Then it's obvious that they're doing the malacha for you and with your command or whatever, then it's osur.
Can they then use a loser?
What?
Can they then use a vacuum cleaner?
They could use a vacuum cleaner, yeah. You could tell them clean the floor. I don't care how you do it. You can pick it up, you know, piece by piece. If you want to use a vacuum cleaner, that's your business. So that's mutter. Yeah.
If you're not clean for the box, maybe, and they know that this is the way you always wash your dishes and this is the way you always wash your clothes.
Yeah, as long as you don't tell them to wash the dishes with hot water or whatever, you tell them, I want the dishes clean. Any way you'll do it, that's up to you. How you think you can do it best. But I'm not mocked that that could be done without. If you tell them, I want you to turn on the hot water and wash the dishes, that's awesome. If you tell them, wash the dishes, washing dishes doesn't necessarily entail something that's awesome.
So what I'm asking is, if your normal way.
Doesn't make a difference.
Train them that's how you wash dishes, and then you say, wash the dishes. And that's part of the training.
Yeah, as long as they don't know that if they wanted to do it the other way, they could. Mm-hmm. Except that they'd be crazy to do it the other way because it's too hard. Mm-hmm. It's still okay.
You have
to tell them, wash the dishes with hot water, then it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you tell them, just wash the dishes, and what's it called, it's obvious that you could do it another way, except nobody would do it that way because it's too hard, then the reason they're doing it is because it's too hard. Not because you told them to dafka wash it with hot water.
But why wouldn't the vacuum cleaner be a problem because of the noise?
Because it's no different than any other malacha, right? Here it's there's no isser making noise on Shabbos, right? There's an isser of setting, you a Jew setting something up before Shabbos will make noise on Shabbos, but you didn't do that. The goy is doing it, and he's not doing it because you told him to do it. He's doing it on his own. So you don't have to stop a goy from doing malacha when it makes noise, just like you don't stop doing for another malacha. You don't make up Mara science. It's something the Chazal asked because of Mara science.
Hashmar's
goals
are making up Mara science.
The Hashmar's call is where you did something that's Mashmiya call. It's not usher to have something in your house that's Mashmiya call. It's usher for you to set up something even before Shabbos, there'll be Mashmiya call. You didn't set that up. All you did was want a clean floor. The goy now comes and decides to use a vacuum cleaner to clean the floor. It's more.
So we don't have to be concerned with the fact that, with all the other examples, somebody who goes by sees a goy doing a malacha.
Yeah, you don't have to worry
about it. They don't see a goy, they hear
because they know that what's it called, that's mutter to do. That there's ways of telling it, and it's mutter, not to assume that the person's doing it in usher way. Since Chazal didn't usher that, so there's no Mara sign. Where Marzayin is also is where Chazal mentioned that you have to be choshish for Marzayin. To make up new Marzayin, you know. It's not those things were never on. This kind of Amir La'akum, where your code say to make a certain job, the job doesn't entail necessarily Chol Shabbos, is what. Okay. Yeah.
Which sponge to use for the dishes, you allowed to tell him?
You should just say, I'm not telling you to use a sponge.
No.
But if you want to use a sponge, this is the one to use. Yeah, you're not telling him to use a sponge. You're just pointing out, don't use the other sponges. What? Okay, next. Let's see what's also. Okay, that's not usual over here because not too many people have goyish maids that that clean their house. The it's very nogay in other communities I was in recently. Very nogay. The okay, now what we get over here, the shaila is, my electricity went off. Can I get this Filipino or that Filipino to come turn on the fuse? Or similar things like that. Okay, so things like this. Anything where there's hana yeshira, direct enjoyment from the malacha. So the problem is like this. To tell the goy to do the malacha is asur under all circumstances, even if there's no hana yeshira. Can't say, turn off the light, because then you're speaking about doing a malacha, which is dabar dover, and you're making the goy a shliach, which is asur too, right? But if there's no hana yeshira, like turning off the light, somebody left the light on in your bedroom, you want to go to sleep, so you want the Filipino to come and turn off the light. So you can't say turn off the light, like we said, because then you're making her or him a shliach, and you're also speaking about something that's also on Shabbos by saying turn off the light. But since turning off the light is not hana yeshira, you're not getting a direct enjoyment from the malacha that was done. The malacha finishes when the light's turned off. Now you're benefiting from the turned off light, which is a non-entity. So there, the only problem is how you say it. So then you're allowed to hint to the goy in a non-commanding way. In other words, you say it's too light here and we can't sleep. You're not telling them what to do bichlal. Right? Now, sometimes, though, you have to, again, show the goy what to do. Right? So the goy says, yeah, that's really too bad, you know, that it's too light here. And, right? I feel bad for you. You say, well, if somebody would just, you know, that switch will solve the problem. Right? So they have to know which switch it is. But you don't tell them, turn off that switch. You're not instructing them what to do. But you're just saying, in general, that if somebody would turn off that switch, what's it called, then the problem will be solved. What? Depends how dumb they are, right.
Thinking out loud, basically.
Right, right. So you're hinting to them in a non-commanding way. That's mutter. That makes they're not becoming your shliach. They're doing it on their own initiative, even though you hinted to them. You didn't say anything about something that's usher to do on Shabbos. You just said, it's too light in here and I can't sleep. That's not something that's usher on Shabbos. And you didn't make them a shliach. And when they turn it around, the cases on why it's a little bit different. Except most of the cases are the fuse went and want to turn on the lights. So, yeah.
What if we have to do the Shabbos room who go right in by our house with Alyssa? And she was saying that she was called and somebody turned off the fan.
Turn off the fan?
Turn off the fan. So we showed Alyssa and we said, this is a switch to the fan. But she turned it off. So do we have to, they're not being benefited from
right. Besides the fact, fans, we're also makel very much when it comes to air conditioning, just like heating. And the opposite also. Now sometimes if it's too cold, because the air conditioner's on and it gets colder, is just as much chance to get sick as if it's cold and you don't have heat. So if it's, you put on something that's extra cold. And the same thing goes in the hot when the air conditioner is off and you want to have an air conditioner on, especially if there's older people or little kids.
My question is more like if somebody with a goy is there by your house or wherever else, do you have to be worried about whatever malacha they do for that person or whatever they happen to do for that person is asleep?
I mean, they're doing it for a cholim.
Yeah.
I'm asking you. The person
there. Presumably, that's why they're employed, is in order to take care of the person.
Yeah, but not every malacha that you do for a person who's sick is necessary because they're sick. Right? In other words, somebody who's sick, right, who needs a malacha done for them that aids in their not being sick. But a malacha has nothing to do with their sickness, is also, even for a sick person. It's not that. Everything you do for a sick person is okay if it aids their sickness. So they need to be able to see because whatever, if they can medicate, whatever. But if it's just Stam, right, they want to read a comic book, and it has nothing to do with their sickness, Mustama, just because they're sick doesn't make it mutter. So everything, if somebody did something for a chola, you can benefit from it. Not just the chola.
Even after the chola leaves.
Mm-hmm. Once it was done for a chola, it's okay for everybody to benefit. It's one of the heterim of why we can use electricity that was conceivably made by Yidden on Shabbos, because they're also making it for the Batei Cholim, and there are Cholim Sheish Bolem Sakana there, and it's even by Jews. So since it was done beheter, you can be nehene from it too, and it doesn't make a difference. There's not more, right, more malacha done for more people or less people. It's all one thing. It's all on the same grid or whatever. And then even if after that there's no more Sakana, it's, since it was done in the time when there was Sakon, it's mutter.
People coming out now and ask if they can borrow a
phone.
Together with
the people. Right.
When you say a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So if it goes off, so if you turn it on, the food's not going to go bad, with, let's say, wood in the summer or something, would have. So that kind of.
Okay, usually, usually the food would have remained edible. It's not even the summer. In a few hours of Shabbos, it's not going to spoil, right? Especially if you leave the refrigerator closed, it surely is not going to spoil. And most food you can eat, you know, what's it called, even if it wouldn't be cold. So it's only an enhancement. That's not a new yeshiva. But anything that mamish would have spoiled, or of a cooking, something that would be cold and really would not be edible, and now it's heated, You can't be nehenna for that.
So in general, what does the Rav tell people? Let's say their main fuse went. So turning on the main fuse, let the goy turn on the main fuse. So then, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of different shilas.
Exactly.
So then, what does the Rav
tell them? Usually, the food. Right. Usually, tell them following: food that's on a platter, whatever. That if it would have stayed off would not be really edible, go and find somebody else's platter to put it on. Lights, tell them that when you can read, right, you could have read or done whatever you're doing by those lights minimally, you can still do it. When you can't do that, not. What other kinds of things are there? Air conditioners, whatever, refrigerator, those things are usually not on yeshiva. But the main thing, the main difference would be cooking things. Cooking things, to tell them that take your things off the platter, unless they be edible anyway. But if they're not going to be able to be cooked, they're not cooked, they'll have a cholent, and it wouldn't cook if the electricity was off. Now it's going to continue cooking, then go put it on somebody else's platter.
That can be a problem, though, because you can't do chazara once it's not cooked.
Yeah, but mice, well, it depends. Usually people cook things.
Yeah, that was cooked, right.
Depends what, right. And all those halachas here with me.